he was going to say something about me, and that might be discouraging to some of you. I need to make sure that I'm ready here for tonight, because my friend Derek told me that last night the power went out and that the lights go out, you're supposed to stop. So I brought my own light tonight. No, we'll probably save that for another time. But I just didn't want you to think that I hadn't got the word. But I'm glad to see that they're on tonight so that I can see all of you. You will have to suffer through with looking at me as well. There's an old preacher story. I don't know how true it is, but it will serve as an introduction illustration to my thoughts this evening. There's a guy went down to the Sears and he wanted to buy a chainsaw because he knew that they had a lifetime warranty. He knew that they were quality machines and that if they had any problem over the lifetime of that he could come back for a free replacement or free repair. And so he went down and he bought the very best model that they had. He took it home and he just found it to be deficient. He took it right back to the store. He took it to the same salesman. He said, earlier today I was in here and I bought this, your nicest model. And I'll just tell you, I had a tree that was only about 4 inches in diameter and it took me more than an hour with this chainsaw. And he said, oh, well, let me look at it. Maybe you've got the chain on backwards. He said, no, that doesn't seem to be the case. It looks like it's so working order. He said, let me just exchange it for you. And so he exchanged it, and he gave him another one and a vote of confidence that I'm sure that you won't have a problem with this. And guy came back the next morning. He said, you swapped that chainsaw, and I think this one is worse than the other one. He said, I had a tree a little about 3 inches in diameter. It took me almost 2 hours. Man, the salesman was perplexed by this. He says, it's possible there was a bad lot there. Let me give you one more exchange. I'm sure you'll be satisfied with this. He was back in that afternoon. He didn't even explain himself. He just slammed the chainsaw up on the counter. He says, I want my money back. I don't want a replacement. These are the worst chainsaws that I have ever seen. I says, man, would you mind coming back in the shop? Let me just see what's the problem with this. I don't want you to leave here dissatisfied. And so he got him back in the shop, and he laid out a piece of wood across a couple of saw horses, and he grabbed that cord, and he pulled that thing, and the man went, oh, what's that noise? It's a way homer. Some of you will get it on the way home. That's what's nice. Obviously, for a chainsaw to work, it needed to access its full power. The man had at his disposal the tool to do the very thing that he wanted done and to do it very efficiently, but he never accessed the power that was contained within that engine that moved the chain and therefore cut the tree. This week, you have been considering, those of you who have been here Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday nights, have been considering the power of God. You've looked at the power of God as it was displayed in creation and continues to be displayed in creation. You talked about the days of Moses, and no doubt that which God did to display his power throughout Israel and showed that he was in fact the God of the universe. Last night, Derek took you on a journey through what I consider to be the thing that changes everything. The power of God as seen in the resurrection of Jesus Christ that gives us hope for a victory over death and that life eternal and sets Jesus apart from every other so-called prophet, good man, and teacher that there has ever been. Tonight, I have been charged with the responsibility of sharing with you about the power of God in our everyday life. And for me, I think that really is not an understanding of God's power as much as it is an understanding of how do we access that power. How can we tap in to that resource that is obviously present and use it in our day-to-day life? There are many who are discouraged by the fact in knowing that there's a God out there and that he maybe is wonderful and he is powerful, but it seems like their life is a wreck. And they said, where is God when I hurt? Where is God when I need help? Where is God when I seem lost or hopeless? And sometimes it's not so much the fact that God isn't there, but it is that those individuals don't understand practically how to access the power of God. I want you to leave here tonight with this understanding that the power of God is ever present for everyone in every circumstance. All you have to do is to access it. But I thought for our purposes that we would be served to see how and where God's power manifests it that we can access. First of all, tonight, I want to look at the idea that God manifests His power to affect our everyday life in His providence. Now, that may be a word that is familiar to you, but in its definition may not be. It's kind of a hard thing to understand because what it really is it is God's working behind the scene. One individual defined providence this way. It is the supernatural means by which God directs all things towards His purpose. It's where He is involved with the animate and the inanimate. He is involved in the things that are seen and the things that are unseen. He is involved in the things that are maybe portray themselves as righteous, but He also has an involvement even in not making wickedness, but using those circumstances and situations. He knows and works amongst the rich. He works amongst the poor, amongst men, amongst women, about the young and amongst the old. In other words, it is God's ever-reaching power into each and every circumstance and situation in our life. It is God's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, plus leap year, that God is, if you will, on the job. There is never a time that He is not there. Now, for you, you may say, well, I don't know that I understand that because that's kind of mystical, because it's God operating on a supernatural plane. And don't be afraid of that particular word. It simply means that God operates on a plane of which you and I cannot operate. You see, God isn't limited, for example, by time. God can operate, though it may mess with our head a little bit, in the past. He can operate in the future. He is not limited by time. God is not limited by space. God is not limited by knowledge or resources. God is unlimited. And that is the very thing that fuels His providence, that God is operating even when we are unaware of it, even when we are not understanding it, even when we think that we don't see it, providence is there. There's probably no better verse to really understand providence than the very first verse in the entire Bible. We learned it, probably one of the first verses in Bible school ever. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There were no people there when God did His great working in creation. That's God operating supernaturally. The reason why is, I guess we would say God was operating pre-naturally, because the law of nature had not yet been established by God in the creation. But God operated anyway. Now, for us to understand it is an exercise maybe in academics, but for us to not understand it does not prevent it from being something that is of value to us. I do understand a little bit about my cell phone. I've been told by the manufacturer how you open it up and how you scroll through it and how you access all those, but I'll just tell you right now, I don't know how this works. I don't really understand it in its details. There's some guys over there near San Jose, California, in Silicon Valley, and they're writing all this code and they're understanding all this electronics. But do you know what? I don't have to understand all of that for me to reap the benefits of the use of my cell phone. For me, it takes on a very personal feeling as well, though. That is the fact that God is working even when I don't know He's working. Forget about understanding. God at times is working when I don't know it. Last night, I didn't particularly sleep well, but I did sleep. And you know what? God continued to be on guard. Even when I was not really consciously aware of my situation and circumstances, I continued to breathe. My wife has proof of that. Right? She knows I was breathing. My heart continued to beat. There were processes in my body, involuntary, in that God has instilled them, and God sustains all of that in such a way that it doesn't require my help. Now, I know God doesn't need my help, but I mean God doesn't need my help at all. Now, when I was a boy, I found great confidence in a father who was always watching out for me. Unfortunately, my father lost his mother when he was 13 years of age. She was 42. She died in her sleep. My father never slept well. It was not uncommon for my dad, or for you to wake up in the middle of the night and to find my dad over you with a flashlight, seeing if you were still breathing. Now, you may say, that's not very kind, and I don't think I'd like that, but do you know what? If there was ever so much as a creak in the house, my dad was up and looking at it. My dad was watching over everything, and I did not understand that until I got married. And Tammy woke me up one night and said, I hear something in the house. And I said, call Dad. Right? And though it is not equal in comparison, we understand that God's providential working before we even existed, when we're unaware of it, even when we don't understand, is that which gives us great power, as it is the power of God working even when we're not working. It is the one religious writer gives this kind of an illustrative view of providence. He says, providence means that the hand of God is in the glove of human events. When God is not at the steering wheel, He's the backseat driver. He is the coach who calls in the signals from the bench. Providence is the unseen rudder of a ship of our world. God is the pilot at the wheel during the night watch. As someone has said, He makes great doors swing on little hinges. God is in and around everything, and He is working, and that power is ours, and we can access it. I said that idea of not understanding God's providence, but I think that it, because it's hard to put your finger on it. You know, you're wanting a good job. You find that there's an opportunity and you pray about that, try to access God's power through prayer, and that's a great way to do it. And we're saying, God, you know, if you want me to have this, I want it, and I want your will to be done. I want this to be a resource that allows me to provide for my family and to give to good works. I mean, you've got all the best intents, and then it happens, in spite of the fact that you're probably not very qualified for it. Or maybe there were a lot of guys who are also praying the same prayer and vying for that position. And you get it, and you might say something like, I think it was just God's providence that I got that job. Now, I can't tell you that it was or wasn't, because unless God says, this is my providence, I don't think there's a way to discern that. However, if I don't understand it and I don't understand its process, it doesn't mean that I don't benefit from it. Because at the end of the day, I got the job, right? It's not just a Christian rationalizing away everything good and saying, well, that was God working, and everything bad that happens, that was my mother-in-law. Right? You can't do that. But the idea is this, that we know that the good and perfect things come from God. The Apostle Paul, as he wrote to the church in Colossae, as he sought to show the superiority of Jesus Christ, He Himself being God in the flesh, he wrote this, for by Him, that's Jesus Christ, that's God, all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, all the things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. We might use another kind of Bible word to describe this, and that's the word sovereignty. That is the fact that God gives account to no one. He is the sovereign. He is the supreme. He is the ultimate. And when he's on our side, that's a good thing. It is good to have a God who is not just in high places, but is the high place. And so we see that Paul says of this one Jesus, God in the flesh, speaking of the divine one, he said, he created the world. That means that providentially, it all belongs to him. He does with it what he sees fit. He also says that he did so for himself. In other words, God has a plan and a purpose. Now, the plan and the purpose of God ultimately is his glory, and he is working that out through human history and through your and my life as well in that act of what we would call providence. God is ultimately going to get what God wants or wills. Now, as we look in human history, we find things such as God wanted Adam and Eve to remain faithful, and they chose not to. That isn't an absence of God's providence, but it is the fact that God, giving man that free moral agency, the agency to choose, presents an opportunity for God to be glorified when Adam and Eve do what they're supposed to do. When Israel did what they were supposed to do. When you and I do what we're supposed to do, even though we could choose to do good or bad, God's glorified. And one says, yeah, but what about the other? God's will of being glorified isn't going to be done when somebody does what's wrong. When Adam and Eve sinned, when Israel forsook them, when one of us forsake them, how can that bring glory to God? Because at the very end, God's going to do exactly what God said he's going to do to the wicked. I'm going to reward the righteous, and I'm going to punish the wicked, and I'm going to be glorified in that, and God's ultimate will is accomplished. And we know that God is going to accomplish those things via his providence. And so, every day we have access to the power of God through his providential care, whether we understand what all of that is or not. The second, we have an everyday access to the power of God through his precepts. Now that's kind of an antiquated word, but the idea is this. His precepts are his instruction. His commandments, if you will, it is his word that he has revealed to you and I through his word, which we call the Bible. That's God's power in our hand. The Apostle Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God towards or unto salvation. But did you know it's the power of God unto so much more? God has given us access to his very voice. God has contained within here direction. He has given us warning and correction. He has given us comfort. He has given us confidence, all through his revealed word. And it is ours anytime we want it. Frequently, there are those that consider God's word as being a book of lists. If you will, it's God's chicken soup for the soul. As if our job is to read each page and then to mark off, did that, need to work on that, forgot to do that, I'll do that tomorrow. That's not the way that God ever intended for this to be. This is God's constant revelation to us. Now, I don't know about you, but I think it would be fantastic to have my very own confidant, my very own group of counselors, an entourage, a brain trust, if you will, that I could, every time I had to make a decision, every time I was facing a struggle or problem, every time that I just seemed to be lost in a situation, I could turn to them and say, you're the wisest that there are, help me in this. And they would say, well, we've considered all these things, here's what you need to do. I mean, that would keep us out of a lot of problems. I have found that currently I have one constant companion. Me. And me sometimes does not always give me good advice. That's why me found a she. Because she does give me good advice. But nothing like having the advice, what Scripture calls the wisdom of God being manifested through His Word. And so as we begin to think about all of that, we realize that this is more than just a self-help book. It's more than just a list of commandments to keep. It's more than just, this is a good book. This is the very wisdom of God that has been granted to you and I. It is His commandments. It is His instruction. But I think it's important to think that it is far more than that. The writer of the book of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 4 and verses 12 and 13 puts it this way. For the word of God is living and active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it is piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from its sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him whom we have to do. What's that mean? That means I don't have to know it all. I can allow God to guide me. In fact, may I challenge you with this thought? Sometimes when we think about wisdom, we think about knowledge and experience, and we apply that to the Word of God. In other words, that if we have enough knowledge and we have had enough experience applying that knowledge, that we are God-wise. Well, the truth is that that is a form of wisdom, but wisdom is that which sees what God says and does it whether we've had an experience or not. That means somebody who's really old, who knows a lot of Bible, and who's had a lot of experiences isn't necessarily any wiser than a young man who opens God's Word, if you will, for the all but first time and says, this is what God wants of me, I'm going to do it. Can one be less wise when they read and understand what God wants them to do and they do it? That's what is the manifestation of wisdom. And when wisdom is practiced, then our life is better. So often, the Bible is seen as a guidebook to get us to heaven. I challenge that notion a little bit. I believe that it's, if anything, a guidebook to get us back to God. And there are blessings that go along with that. And one of those blessings is an eternal relationship with God in heaven one day. But at the same time, there are some that say, you know what, this is all about what's coming in the future. You know, life is hard and then you die. But if you die a Christian, then God's going to save you in heaven. But I'm thinking the other 20 years of my life, 40 years of my life, 80 years of my life or more are miserable. And was this what God had in mind when He gave me this big old thick book? Couldn't He just say, go to heaven when you die? You know, follow the light. Why did He give me all this? You know why? Because a life that is lived in accordance to God's wisdom is a better life than a life that doesn't have God's wisdom. Daily, God is saying, mm-mm. God is saying, go this way. God says, how many of you have watched that lady on the airplane give the directions for all the safety exercises? If you're nodding your head, no, you didn't, because none of us do. We're just looking to see if we get free cookies later in this flight. But you know, the flight attendant, they get up and they begin that routine. You know, it's like, all right, here's how you hook a seatbelt. We've only been doing this since like 1964, but let me show you how to hook a seatbelt. And in case of cabin depressurization, a yellow mask is going to fall down. Please put that over your nose and mouth. It will muffle your screams as we're going down. I mean, they give you that whole thing. And we all laugh, right? We don't care that our seat's going to be a flotation device unless that pilot comes on and says, it looks like we're going to crash land. And I'm going to go, where's the oxygen? Where are the escapes? Is this seatbelt buckled and going to hold me in? Well, guess what? That's what God's doing. This isn't this thing about God saying, let me give you a bunch of orders for you to follow. It's God saying, let me make sure that you're prepared before you need to be prepared for what's coming along. And since I've already been to tomorrow, I can help you with that. And so what that does is that gives us an understanding that God's way is the best way. The psalmist put it this way in Psalm 86 and verse 11, teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. We have this book, the very word of God, and yet often we're going somewhere else to find answers. We bring all of our friends together and we say, this is what I'm struggling with. And we, like Job, begin to listen to all the counsel, whether it's good or bad, that comes from them. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not so good. And if it's not that, maybe we go to somebody that we can actually pay to tell us what we should do, right? We go to some kind of a professional counselor. And I'm not saying there's no time ever to use a professional counselor, or maybe we're too embarrassed to do that, so we go down to the Barnes & Noble, the last one that's left, and we go back to the self-help section. Do you know that's the largest section in any bookstore, except for, you ready? Amish romance novels. From a genre standpoint, self-help books. Why? Well, I'm going to buy all these books. It's going to fill all my problems. I think it's the words of a song that I heard a few years back that explains our real problem. The song goes, I have done every devotional, been every place emotional, trying to hear a new word from God, and I think it very odd that while I attempt to help myself, my Bible sits upon its shelf with every promise I could ever need. Oh, if the Lord would just give me an answer. And he says, I did. You just haven't opened it yet. Right? Every day we have access to the power of God through his precepts, that is, his word. Thirdly, every day we have access to the power of God through his people, the church. I suppose all of us could mention someone that was important in our life. A parent, a child, a grandparent, a brother or a sister, a close friend that was there in a difficult time. We have all kinds of people in our life that are important. We have our best friends. We have our close companions. We have those confidants. Sometimes it is a result of a blood relationship. I think my grandbabies, all nine of them, in fact, I've got one coming in 10 in September, number 10, and I already know this, of that grandbaby, they're all better than your grandbabies. They're smarter. They're prettier. You know why? Because they're my grandbabies, right? Tammy sometimes will look at one of our grandbabies and go, is she not just the cutest thing? Isn't he just adorable? I said, you know, they could have one eye hanging off. They could be dragging a leg. Their hair could be sticking straight up. And you'd say the same thing. You know what she says? Yep. You know why? They're our grandbabies. So we have relationships that are built on that blood or family. Sometimes we have an affinity for a person. We have important people in our life because they've done something for us, right? Maybe it's an association that came through work. My boss hired me and treats me well and pays me well, and as a result of it, I like my boss. Or maybe it is somebody that in a time of need made supplied you with something that you were deficient in. Or maybe it was nothing more than a hug or a shoulder to cry on in a difficult time. Or a word of encouragement when life seemed really down. Those are important people in our lives. And none of us go without recognizing, even if we're not very good about always thanking them, going without saying no. They've been a real, what? Blessing in my life. Well, you know where blessings come from? They come from God. And you may not see your friend. You may not see a family member. You may not see someone that has come into your life as a blessing from God. But God often works His will through people. Yep. The people that are all around you each and every day. And you say, wait. When God's going to do what God's going to do, God's going to do it. He does sometimes. And sometimes He does it through people. And so God brings people into our life through His providence. And you go, well, I don't understand that. You don't have to. That was point number one. But God brings people in, but I don't believe that there is a place that is not better understood than when we come to the concept of the people that belong to God through Jesus Christ. The body of Christ, the church that belongs to Him. This body of believers who have come from a variety of backgrounds and a variety of personalities and a variety of perspectives have found themselves unified in this singleness of purpose of serving God and living for Him with the hope of not only reconciliation, but a life for Him. So when you think about all those people, you go, man, I can think about those people in a local church or a local congregation. Maybe even your introduction to a local congregation came by someone who was there and I want to tell you a little bit about Jesus. Or I want to show you what I've been learning from God's Word. Or I don't know it all, but I'd like to go on a journey with you and explore these things. Maybe they are the teacher, the preacher, the friend, the mentor that led you to find your way in difficult circumstances. And we're sitting around going, you know what? I don't like what she does. I don't like what he does. They bother me and they bother me. Why can't God bless me? Well, because you kind of are sitting there, my grandmother wanted us to save Christmas wrapping paper when we unwrapped a package. Yes, we just tell you right now, that's like putting beef jerky in your pockets and hoping that the dog isn't going to eat you from your toe all the way up. It just doesn't happen. We're going to tear into it. So eventually we found growing up, when our kids were growing up, that it didn't matter about the fancy paper. We didn't go over to Macy's or Dillard's and buy that $20 a roll wrapping paper. You know what we did? Hello, Big Lots, right? We didn't want to worry about the paper because it was the package that we were giving. And that's what happens sometimes is God has brought His blessing in the form of people into our life, valuable relationships, and some of them are wrapped like Big Lots. We love Big Lots. Relax, okay? And so what we do is we start going, well, you know what? He's a this. She's a that. They must be important because look how they look. Or they're not important or they're not important. And it has been my experience that God's help through people typically comes through the most unexpected places. In fact, frequently I have been disappointed when I thought God's blessing came wrapped from Nordstrom's, if you know what I mean, and it wasn't there. God is blessing us daily with people in our life, and we want to be those that are careful not simply to reject it. I mentioned that the fact that these people who love us and care for us and encourage us and pray with us and pray for us and even provide for us because they have seen those characteristics in Jesus Christ and they're living them out. Who better to be God's manifestation of the blessings that are in Christ Jesus but through those who are seeking to be like Him, right? It is in Acts chapter 2 in the New Testament where following the day of Pentecost, we often talk about it being the day that the church was established. It really is the culmination of what God has been trying to do. through mankind since the very beginning of time, if man would just let him do it. And finally, Jesus has fulfilled his responsibility of sacrifice. He has fulfilled the promise of resurrection. He has ascended to heaven with the promise of an eventual return. And the church is established. God's people come together from all generations and from all nationalities and from all geographies. And they're now going to come together under the oneness of this church. And there in Acts chapter 2, beginning about verse 42, there is a beautiful picture of how God blesses us through our relationships. They, that's all of these who had been saved, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. There's God's precepts that were feeding them. And to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. There were many wonders and signs that were taking place through the apostles. Listen, and all of those who believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing in one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. I mean, doesn't that sound like a great place to be? Do you think that there's a social club that can offer that kind of relationship? Do you think that there's some kind of a company or organization that can truly offer that kind of a relationship? There is nothing like the body of believers who are behaving like the body of believers to be God's great blessing in our life. And yet, there are those that say, you know, I'm just really struggling. I got a lot of problems. I remember a couple came to me a number of years ago, and there were a lot of things going on. She was originally his babysitter, though they weren't that far in age. And as he grew up, she did too, and they eventually got married. But she still kind of thought she was the babysitter. And she had a very domineering personality, and he did not have a domineering personality at all. And she kind of bossed him around, but he was smart enough to know he didn't like her bossing him around. And he had a little problem with trying to deal with his problems in a bottle. And so that was a part. So all of these things were coming together. And I finally said, and I'm going to say this right now, and I don't want you to take me as a bad guy, but I had come to the point that I was ready to knock their heads together till it killed them and let God sort it out. Because they were going back and forth, like a couple of fourth graders fighting over a piece of Play-Doh, and I said, enough is enough. And I said, I'm going to give you three things that I want you to do in the next 30 days. And I decided that the three things were going to be things that were manageable. It wasn't like get along. That was going to be too much. But the first thing I said is, I want you, except for the case of illness or travel, I want you to plan on being at every single service when God people come together. Both of them were Christians. I said, because first of all, I think you need that influence in your life. This was on, a Thursday that we met. And I said, so Sunday, I want to see the two of you. I didn't even say they had to sit together. And do you know where they were on Sunday? Not right there. We're struggling. We're waiting for God's blessing. And we think that we're going to find God's blessing away from His people where He blesses us through. It's another counseling term. Duh. That's not going to happen that way. The further we are away from God's people, the further we are away from God. You can't be near away from God's people who are near to God and think that you can be away from them and near to Him. They are God's great blessing. It's not about attendance. It's not about checking that off. It's about the fact that says, wait a minute, here is a pool of blessing, and I'm going to dive right in the middle of it every chance I get. Tammy and I went to the zoo on Tuesday. Big mistake. Got there at 10 o'clock. It was, well, we cooked our lunch on the grill of the car. It was hot. Tammy says, we should have taken our grandbabies to the pool instead of the zoo. And she said, every day when I was growing up, I went to the swimming pool. You know why she went? I said, because she lived in Perry, Oklahoma, and there was nothing else to do. She says, no, it was hot. And we went to the pool because we were hot. It wasn't because we were trying to be in the Olympics. It wasn't for some other reason. We were hot. This is the principle we understand in other walks of life. I'm hot. Let's get in the pool. I'm struggling. You know where I need to be? In the blessings. Every day we have access to the power of God through His people. Finally, for our consideration at least, every day we have the access to the power of God through His promises. We have His providence, we have His precepts, we have His people, and we have His promises, and great they are. We could have given Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, for that matter, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, just looking at all of the promises of God that were made in the Old Testament and in the Gospels in the New Testament, and we wouldn't have come anywhere near exhausting them. I made a very abbreviated list. I summarized everything that happened in the Old Testament as being God's promise that He gave to Abraham about making his descendants a great nation. And guess what? They were. And that they were going to have a land that was going to be theirs. And He did give them that. And that through them all the nations of the earth would be blessed, ultimately as through that lineage produced Jesus Christ, who was the Savior of all mankind. And there are some that are still waiting around even within the Jewish community going, we're waiting for God's fulfillment. Well, Joshua, the great leader of Israel, wrote in Joshua 21:45, not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass. You're waiting for something that's already happened. But God promised that to Abraham. We get into the New Testament. God promised salvation to all believe in His Son. God promised that all things will work out for good for His children. God promised comfort in our trials. He promised a new life in Christ. God promised every spiritual blessing in Christ. God promised to finish the work He had started in us, Paul told the Philippian church. God promised peace. When we were needing comfort, He promised to supply our needs. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, out of His own mouth, promised us a rest. He promised us an abundant life if we would follow, an eternal life if we would put our trust in here. He promised that He would return. It's promise after promise after promise. You say, but how can we know that that's going to happen? And the reason why is in one word, faithfulness. Frequently, God looked at Israel and said, you know what I have done for you? I promised this and I did it. And 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 that gave Israel, or should have, great confidence to know that God was going to do, both to the righteous as well the wicked, everything that He said He's going to do. By the way, He's got some promises that aren't as pleasant either for those who do not follow after Him. But He's going to do that. And you say, well, how do you know? And I said, because He's faithful and has proven it throughout human history. And so these vast promises of God are God's blessing, but they're not just for us in the faraway future, though none of us know exactly when we will take that transition into the afterlife. But instead, it is God saying, I'm going to bless you every day. Jesus gives us, in His words and in His life, His example, and through His word as we have it recorded, has the things that pertain to life and godliness. Jesus says, I have come to give you the things that are good and the things that are everlasting. It's two different things. He says, I'm going to give you great things, and I'm going to give it to you now and forevermore. The promises of God are accessible to us today. We can have confidence and faithfulness that God is going to help us, that God is going to heal us, that God is going to provide for us, that God is going to protect us, that God is going to direct us, that God is going to save us. And in that is an access to the power of God. There can be no doubt that the power of God is present. It has been present before the creation of the world. It has been present in the past of humanity. It is present in the present, and it is going to be present in the future until Jesus comes. All it requires is our access for us to enjoy the blessings that God has. And our access to God's power comes through His providence, His working, even when we don't know He's working. The power that comes through His precepts, that is, His word revealed when we are obedient to it, not from list keeping, but allowing Him to transform us to be what we need to be. The power that comes through those people and the relationships, especially those that are within the Lord's church. And certainly the power of God will be seen and revealed in the promises that are fulfilled both now and in the future. There is no reason to be sitting out there at the 3-inch tree of life. I don't mean the tree of life, but the life that is a tree, trying to cut it down with a chainsaw that's not running. The power is all there. And hopefully, if I have been true to the charge that was given me, I have shared with you some things, not only from my own personal illustration, but from the very Word of God, to give you that confidence. That confidence that says, I can go forward because I now have access to the very power of God. Thank you so much for being here. And for those of you who have been here all week, I want to thank you for being here. I wanted to be here last night to hear Derek, but there was not going to be any lights, and I'm afraid of the dark. But no, I was out speaking in Elk City last night. But I want to thank you for being here on behalf of the total congregation, because it was a great turnout tonight. But I was told that at 6:50, it's root beer float time. So if you will, let's bow for a very quick word of prayer, and you will be dismissed. Father in heaven, we are thankful for your power. We're thankful for that demonstration of power. We're thankful for the constant reminder of that power through your word. We are thankful for the presence of your power in the person of Jesus Christ. We're thankful that you have given us through him access to that power. Father, we're thankful for your providence acting on our behalf even when we don't act on our own behalf. We're thankful for your precepts to direct us and guide us. We're thankful, Father, for those people that you have brought into our lives to be a blessing to us. And certainly, Father, for both promises past, present, and future, we thank you for these as well. It is our prayer humbly and thankfully in Jesus' name. Amen.